Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, March 7th, and today we have a staff birthday. Our Associate Minister of Family Ministries, Amy Hirsch, is celebrating her birthday today. So we want to celebrate with you, Amy, and thank you for all that you do. Today is also Missions Monday, and so at the end of the podcast, we will pray together for our ministry partners. We pick up today in Genesis chapter 49, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 18. The title of this section is Jacob Blesses His Sons. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power. Turbulent are the waters you will no longer excel, for you went up into your father's bed, onto my couch, and defiled it. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger so fierce, and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come and the obedience of the nations shall be his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun will live by the seashore and become a haven for ships. His border will extend toward Sidon. Issachar is a raw-boned donkey, lying down among the sheep pens. When he sees how good is his resting place and how pleasant is his land, he will bend his shoulder to the burden and submit to the forced labor. Dan will provide justice for his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan will be a snake by the roadside, a viper along the path that bites the horse's heels so that its riders stumble backward. I look for your deliverance, Lord." We are stopping right in the middle of these blessings, but I want to go back specifically to Judah's blessing. Did you notice the language, the messianic language that is there? Remember that Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. So I'm going to read it again. "Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies." Think the evil one there. "Your father's sons will bow down to you." Jesus is praised by all. "You are a lion's cub, Judah." Remember the lion, that imagery of Jesus in Revelation. "You return from your prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah." So it's the idea that Jesus will reign forever. "Not the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come and the obedience of the nations shall be his." And that is our prayer, that one day all nations will bow before Jesus as King and we will praise him around the throne. Let's move now to the book of Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 78 and we'll read the first 16 verses. A Maskil of Asaph. "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will teach the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. His power and his wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt and in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of the rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. And now let's move over to the book of John. Today we're in chapter 12, starting in verse 37, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. The title says, Belief and Unbelief Among the Jews. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." I like the study Bible note that I have here on verse 45. Let me read that verse again. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. It says, we often wonder what God is like. How can we know what the Creator is like when he doesn't make himself visible? Jesus said plainly that those who see him see God, because he is God. If you want to know what God is like, study the person and the words of Jesus Christ. Let's go now and think about one of our mission partners, the Philippines Baptist Theological Seminary. This seminary exists to train God-called and church-affirmed men and women for Christian ministry, and they have tons of requests for us today that they would have physical and mental strength for their graduating students, for more students to enroll in June 2022, the whole faculty and staff for daily provisions, and for their extension classes. One more request that they have is that the continuing lowering of cases in the Philippines and Baguio City particularly, so that they can have a face-to-face graduation on March 18th. So let's pray with them for that. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to read your word. We thank you for Amy. We ask, Lord, your blessings on her today, that you would continue to strengthen her for the work of ministry and that you might bless her family. We pray alongside our ministry partners, the Philippines Baptist Theological Seminary, and we ask, Lord, that you would provide continued strength for them in these days. We pray for those students who are going back into very difficult and closed countries, countries that are not open to the gospel. And we pray for your word to continue to go forward. We pray for the staff, and we ask, Lord, that you might bless the seminary by allowing them to have a face-to-face graduation on the 18th. Lord, we thank you that you are alive and working here in the United States and all the way in the Philippines as well, and in each area in between. We want to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine and in Russia and all parts of the land that are in turmoil even now. And we ask your hand in those situations. Lord, sometimes it's difficult for us to know what to do, and we pray, Lord, that you would give us practical wisdom on how we might be show solidarity to our brothers and sisters, but also, Lord, would you miraculously work in that situation. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.